inspire and empower women to lead. I'm your host, Kennedy Taylor, cybersecurity queen, foodie, and Miss Maryland 2023. Let's get to the episode. Hello.
Hi.
Today, I am so excited to welcome Anita Abhishavian, the owner of Javon Wellness in D.C. It is D.C.'s top-tier med spa. They offer skincare treatments, Botox. I personally had my first Botox here ever, as well as incredible injectable and treatments that you can get. She was recently named one of DC Modern Luxury Magazine's power players. So hi, Anita.
Thank you
for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Amazing. So first, could you just tell us a little bit about Javon Wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. So Javon Wellness was born in U Street, Washington, D.C. I started this practice with my brother, who's a physician. And this came about after switching from a very different career. So I actually used to work for the DOD and namely the Marine Corps prior. But my brother and I kind of put our heads together because he's a physician and I've always been a patient in the med spa world. I've always been getting, you know, everything from laser hair removal to facials to other aesthetic treatments. And I felt like throughout my journey of, you know, doing things in this aesthetic world, I always thought that, you know, there's some things that could be improved. And, you know, I'm Persian. I have a Persian background. I was raised in Oklahoma. And, you know, my people are kind of hairy. So I used to get laser hair removal since I was like 15 years old. And I felt like this industry, you know, at that time, I'm almost 40, but the industry at that time just wasn't really meant to provide treatments for people with darker skin. And so I always thought, you know, I would love to have a business, number one, but namely, you know, in this aesthetic world, once I opened Javon Wellness, I thought this is going to be a place that offers treatments for everyone. We can treat all skin types because I know my struggle. My face has been burned. You know, I had lasers that were performed on me that were not right for me. I felt like, you know, customer service wise and a number of other things, there are things that I always envisioned that I thought would be pretty cool if I could, you know, start a practice. So my brother and I put our heads together and we came up with Javon Wellness. Javon actually comes from a Persian word, which is Javon. That actually means young or youthful. And that's how we came up with our anti-aging business.
I love that. So just a little bit, let's take a step back. So thinking about your background, you said you worked for the Marine Corps.
I did.
When do you miss it? And what did you do exactly for them?
Listen, I people think this is crazy because now I'm in a world of Botox and fillers and facials and all sorts of fun aesthetic stuff, but I miss the Marine Corps. I had a great time with them. People are very surprised to once they find out that, you know, my work essentially revolved around preparing Marines for deployment. And what do I mean by that? Well, for a very long time, I'd say for about 8 years, 8 years of my career with the DOD, which was about 15 years long, I prepared Marines that were getting deployed to go fight terror groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. My job was to teach them about, you know, their enemy capabilities, their operational environment, how they interact with partner forces, whether that's the Iraqi military, you know, the people, civilians on the ground, et cetera, et cetera. So I had a very interesting time. I was traveling, you know, all throughout the U.S. at different Marine Corps bases, and namely in Camp Pendleton and 29 Palms, a number of other places, Camp Lejeune, as they call it. but I had a great time. I love, you know, and miss the Marines. I thought that it was very, you know, good work, that I thought I was providing a great service to people. But I'd like to think that now I'm in a different business where we're still fighting an enemy, but the enemy is aging. So, you know, it relates in some way.
No, absolutely. I think that's extremely impressive. You're such a unique human. That's why I'm so excited to have you on this show.
Thank you.
But as you know, I'm also, well, I'm a federal contractor. I worked for the Marine Corps for a year. So I have to say, I think because I do so many things between being Miss Maryland and working in cybersecurity, I've been able to find those little interconnections.
Oh, yeah.
One thing in cyber actually relates to my job in Miss Maryland or whatever it is. What did you learn from the Marine Corps that you think has helped you, Javon?
Honestly, a lot of things. But, you know, the most difficult thing in my position is managing staff. And I feel like my time with the Marine Corps really allowed me to learn how to work with other people, how to really build a team, you know, understanding the value of one another. And I think that right now I'm in a position where, you know, as a leader, Like I said, there's really nothing, in my opinion, as a business owner, more difficult than managing staff. You end up taking on all the burdens in some ways, the personal things that people go through, the struggles. You know, you want to train people to do well, and you also want to lead from the bottom and set an example. And I think I learned a lot of that with my time in the with the Marine Corps, because I observed so many amazing leaders. And, you know, I observed a lot of people who I thought were probably just a little bit more aggressive, and maybe I would do things a little bit differently. But I do think that learning that element of teamwork and camaraderie was probably the most important thing. And I always told myself that if I became a business owner, that I would definitely use those principles, because, you know, people, you know, like I said, it's not easy to manage staff. And if you can learn to really empower them and recognize the things that they are good at and really build on those things that they are really good at. I mean, I have a team up until very recently was entirely a team of women. And I have, you know, different ages, people from different nationalities, from different backgrounds. And everybody at the end of the day has to learn to work together. Within the Marine Corps, you also learn that, you know, people have different backgrounds. And as part of my job, there are people who you train to work with, you know, others from cultural backgrounds that are totally different. They're partner forces. Like I said, I was literally teaching some Marines who had never been east of the Mississippi River. And they have to learn culturally how to work with people from a totally different country. I mean, if you can imagine, sometimes people from Texas can't get along with people from New York. It's a totally different culture. And I feel like, you know, as a business owner and someone managing staff, I kind of had to teach the same thing. One of the hardest things that I had to learn was, or one of the things I should say that I never fully expected was, you know, I have an employee who's from Russia and an employee from Ukraine. And I never thought that, you know, some sort of dynamic would have happened where we really had to learn to be a teamwork in the to do teamwork in the hardest of times. I have Israeli, I have Palestinian. I have, you know, during a number of things that have happened, COVID, we all dealt with so many different things, you know, throughout these last 5 years of opening since 2018. And I really think that had I not learned so many things with the Marine Corps of building team and building on people's experiences, I think I would have had a harder time. So I'm very thankful for that. Long answer.
No, and D.C. is such a melting pot that
it is, yeah.
Continue to have people from so many different cultures.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right now, I believe your job is very hands-on, right? Aren't you director of operations?
I am. Listen, I do my payroll.
Oh, my goodness.
I will go in the clinic and I'll start cleaning up things if I need to. I mean, my staff is pretty good about all that. I fix the roof or the ceiling a couple times. You know, issues have happened. You do everything. When you're a business owner, you really have to do everything. I mean, I do that intentionally because I also want my employees to see that I'm not above anything. And so I think that's pretty important.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you think you'll always be so hands-on?
I always tell myself that at some point, like, you know, I'll grow and maybe have, you know, other people that I'll hire to do certain things. But truly, I take pride in doing it. I feel like I said, when people see that you're not above something and you really are willing to do everything from the bottom up, I think that people respect you differently. And I truly do like that. And plus, I think it also gives me an opportunity to see every angle of my practice. I like being in there. I occasionally pop in and cover the front desk when I'm needed. You know, I can't do injectables and I can't do facials because I'm not licensed to do that. I have an amazing team that does that. But I actually do enjoy, you know, all the things that I've had to do in every angle of my practice. I don't mind it.
Good. Okay. So tell me a little bit about being a woman in business. You said that your brother, right? He's the other co-founder of this business.
He is.
So is there ever a time when people assume that he's the only owner?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, in the very beginning, especially like, who am I, right? I had a background working 15 years in the DOD and I came in the aesthetic world. And people were very surprised at the fact that we opened in 2018. And literally a year later, we opened our second practice right on the dot, October 2019. And I think that people were a little bit weirded out that how is this girl who has no background, no experience in the medical aesthetic world, you know, come in and start a business in this field and grow so quickly. And it goes back to, you know, really understanding how to manage staff and manage people. You know, I know where my talents lie, and that's where I decided to put my effort in building a practice. People do assume that, you know, my brother has stepped in and he's like kind of, and he's the reason for the practice success. No doubt he has done wonderful things in the clinic. He is the medical director. He gives excellent guidance when it comes to the practice of medicine. But I do think that I had to really prove myself in this industry, and that wasn't very easy. And really my battles were not, you know, a gender-driven battle. It was a number of things. You know, I'm not medically licensed, but I grew a medical practice. This is a field that traditionally has been dominated by men. And I think it's amazing that more recently there are so many women who are coming out, whether they are nurse practitioners or, you know, whether they're estheticians, they're getting into ownership of businesses where they can actually lead in this aesthetic business. I think it's incredible. But I do think that I was met with a lot of challenges, and I'm still, you know, I still face those things, and I still meet people who say, you know, kind of look at me as if, how is it that someone who really shouldn't be in this industry is growing so much in this industry? But I take that as a compliment. It's kind of cool to be the underdog and doing unexpected things. So that's fine.
Absolutely. And the women listening to this podcast are most likely in the same situation. Whether they're business owners or they work in a specific field, they're going to experience some sort of adversity. So,
oh yeah.
Well, thank you for saying that they're not alone. You're not alone. I'm not alone. It happens to me all the time. But what advice would you have for them?
Where do I begin? I mean, I actually finished a book very recently on how to open a med spa, and I try to give as much advice as possible. I can't wait until that comes out. But, you know, when women start a business, I think that they're under the most unnecessary pressures ever. People think, you know, before I started a business, I thought I'm going to be a boss, right? Like, people use that word so loosely, and I don't think most people know what it means. Because we look at Instagram and we look at social media, all these different things, and we think about what an image of a boss is, right? And it's really not that. I mean, I always thought, oh, I'm going to be a boss. I'm going to own my business. I thought I was going to sit at the top and, you know, the money was going to start rolling in and I was just going to hire people to do everything. And once I actually got into it, I realized, no, this is really hard work. And not only that, but I think us as women, we have this pressure to present something physically about ourselves and maintain an image of being a boss. And that's fine, but we also have to recognize that it's okay that you can't do it all. I think one of the worst advice, you know, pieces of advice that I got in the very beginning was, you can do it all. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you own this and you can do everything. And I think that sets a really improper expectation for women. Like, listen, I'm not going to wake up every morning at 6 a.m., get to the gym, you know, fix my hair, do this, do that, have a super productive day in the clinic, check all my boxes and be done with it. I'm going to have some struggles today, and that's fine. And having those struggles, I think, are what build you and build your success more. You learn to get better at it. There are things that you will not check off on your checklist every day. There are days where your hair is not going to look perfect.
Your hair
today
is
might
always
be
perfect.
One of my days. There are days when your makeup is not going to look perfect. There are days where people are going to stress you out. You're not going to make it to dinner with your friends. You're not going to be the best boss ever. You're going to be stressed out, and it's because you're human. And like I said, the worst piece of advice that someone can give you is to say you can do it all and every day is going to be great. Just believe that you're going to do everything. No, set your expectation. Accept the fact that there are some days that things are going to go wrong and own it and just do better the next day. Keep pushing, keep moving.
I love that. Every time I see you, I think you're so positive. Like, you just radiate positive energy every time you walk in the room. So I'm really happy to hear that. And also, how many locations do you have now, by the way?
So U Street opened 2018, Ballston opened 2019. This location, which we are sitting in, opened Doomsday, March 2020.
Okay.
So that was interesting. March 31st was actually my grand opening set for this location. And of course, COVID happened. The world we thought was ending March 15th. I think it was March 15th. And so I had to turn this practice into a COVID clinic temporarily.
Wow.
You know, you like I said, you move and you adapt. Things will not go as expected, people. Like, you're going to have problems. But you know, those things happened, and we figured out how to evolve and try to continue business and whatnot, and that was okay. But this location is actually going to close soon because I'm opening in DuPont. So you guys are the first to learn. I'm opening a DuPont Circle in a few months. So you heard it here first, people. And
Amazing.
then I also opened in Dallas, Texas, just a couple months ago. So, you know, we're out in the South, people.
Yeah, and Dallas is such a growing market for
It
sure.
is, yeah.
So why DC and why Dallas?
So I moved here in DC about, what was it, 2013. I was based in Quantico, so I became pretty familiar with this area. My brother moved over here, and that's how we started DC. I was actually raised in Oklahoma. So I was born in Iran, raised in Oklahoma, and I'm a Baylor University graduate. So I used to drive through Dallas all the time. I'm very familiar with the area. Culturally, it speaks to me. I'm, like I said, I grew up in the Midwest and South area. And my brother actually went to medical school with my business partner out there. She's an anesthesiologist, and I was introduced to her through my brother. And looks like it's all working out. So I'm excited to continue seeing where else I can grow.
Good. Do you visit Dallas often?
I do. I'm actually leaving in 2 days. So operationally, I still try to be as active as possible. Of course, there's distance, and that becomes pretty difficult. But I've got a great manager over there. I think we have a wonderful team, and I know that it's going to be, you know, growing and successful. It'll take some time, but I'm excited to see where what the future holds.
Good. No, that's very exciting. And I would love to hear about any next steps or plans you have. You briefly alluded to a book that's coming
Oh,
out, so
yeah.
tell us more.
So I decided, because I had such a complicated journey and a lot of lessons learned, I thought, well, how can I use my history and my journey to help other people? And in fact, I think in DC alone, I feel like every couple months I hear about a new med spa that's open, and I don't see it as competition. I think it's great that, you know, more and more people are learning how to grow in this business. And I think that there's definitely room for us to help each other because, you know, my menu is not 100% the same as someone else's menu. We refer people to other places all the time. So I decided, with all of my hard lessons learned, to write a book on just my journey and some things that some people should know as far as how to open a med spa. There are some limitations that people should know and accept. There is a leadership mindset that I think people should have. There's a tremendous amount of focus, and there's, like I said, going to be some hurdles along the way, and it's really good to know those things beforehand. I've already started on my second book. So that one is called, well, I don't know exactly what it's called yet, but it's based on the subject of how to manage your staff. I think that that is one of the most heart-wrenching things in business. And I've learned that one of the most challenging things that other med spas have to deal with is that it's really hard to keep, you know, your employees happy and create a really good team environment, and, you know, really reduce turnover rates and things like that. So I learned a really shocking statistic about how fast, people look for other jobs, and the turnover rate within practices is actually pretty high. So what can I actually do to help that? I've had the same providers for a couple years. I've had zero turnover among them. So I thought that it would be nice to kind of share the wisdom of what's worked for me, and hopes that other, you know, men and women who are wanting to open med spas can actually, maybe make a few less mistakes than I did.
That's awesome. And we'll certainly
Yeah.
promote your book when it comes out. So
Great.
keep us updated.
I will.
And as far as being just opening a med spa, it's funny. I would have thought that you had to be a medical professional if I didn't know you for sure. So I love that that book's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And also, just in terms of having the med spa and running it, what I would say, what has been your toughest situation? I don't know if how much you can say, but what is your number
Oh,
one problem that you've
boy.
experienced? And it's okay if it's a standalone problem or if it's reoccurring, just like what's the
Yeah.
number one issue?
I don't know that I have a number one issue because they all kind of run together, but I think the most difficult thing for me, at least in the beginning, was sticking to my decisions. Oftentimes, as you know, as a leader, you have to make decisions every day. I feel like 80% of what I'm doing is either making decisions or following up with people, and you have to follow through with what your gut tells you. The most difficult thing is that when you have to make decisions that don't necessarily benefit, you know, one person, but you are making them in order for the practice in its entirety to benefit. And sometimes those decisions are pretty tough, and you really do have to sit with people and explain to them that, you know, things may not be looking up now, and maybe the decisions that you make in the short term are not going to benefit anyone, you know, like I said, now, but you really do have to kind of believe in your craft and trust your own intuition, and really make decisions regardless of how much people try to like knock you off of, you know, your path. I think really sticking to your vision and your mission statement has been pretty challenging. People will question, you know, what your decisions are all the time. And I think a true leader is one that really steps in and really sticks to what they believe in, especially the values that they believe in, as far as, you know, projecting in the long term what they want, not only for the success of their practice, but also their own personal success.
That's great, because that applies to any industry.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And then you briefly mentioned having just DC being so competitive with med spas. There's one coming out every day.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't mind at all. So just in terms of staying relevant, how has Javon been able to stay relevant, grow? You have such loyal clients. I'm one of them. How have you done that?
I mean, this industry is so amazing. Every day I'm learning about some new technology, some sort of new product or something that is helping us age backwards. And I think if you are a proactive person in this business, the way in which you know, stay, I guess, relevant is the word, is you really try to not succumb to trends, and you really build your business on things that you believe in. Look, I see things on Instagram all the time, and they just set such unrealistic expectations of everything, to where even patients will call the practice and they'll ask us if we carry certain things. And, you know, we just tell them, you know, no, and we give them a proper explanation as to why this is not something that we approve, you know, to do in the practice. And, you know, you just kind of stick to your guns about, you know, what it is and how you want to evolve in your business. I think that if, like I said, if you're a very proactive person, you attend conferences, you really encourage your staff to be more and more educated. I have mandatory training requirements for everybody. I want them to constantly evolve and grow in all the treatments that they're performing. I get a knock on the door all the time for a new product or a new service or a new laser or a new whatever it is. And we're constantly trying to rethink and evolve with time. And I think that's important, is to really keep up with medicine and see what new, you know, offerings and availabilities are out there, but don't succumb to all the trends on Instagram. I think it's very dangerous.
No, and it's funny that you say that, because I've gone to Margarita. She's one of the injectors here at Javon.
She's
many
great.
Times.
Yeah.
And she's told me no.
Oh, yeah.
Because I came in with ideas, things I saw on Instagram,
oh,
of
yeah.
new filler, like where to put it. And she's told me, Kennedy, that's not going to work for you. We're not
yeah.
doing it.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's every med spa has like their own, you know, thing that they're after. Ours is an anti-aging practice. So if you come to me asking for, you know, big Kylie Jenner lips and you have paper thin lips to start with, we're going to be very honest with you and say, look, it's not something that's realistic. You know, I don't like it when people show photos of what they see on Instagram, because people don't realize how much they're filtering themselves and, you know, a number of other things. Let's just be realistic.
Every time I come here, by the way, I bring a photo and she's always like, no.
Exactly. I mean, look, take your own features and appreciate what you have. Let's start with you as the foundation. Let's not start with Kylie Jenner or whoever it is on Instagram. Let's start with you as the foundation, and let's find out if you want something that we can enhance. We can always do that, but appreciate what you have. You know, everyone's got their own, you know, beauty, and there are things that we can do to, you know, enhance and treat skin and make, you know, certain improvements. But if you want to do a full change on yourself, I would say that we're not the practice for you. We're all about enhancing what people already have.
I love that so much. And I appreciate being told no, because you don't even realize sometimes what you're asking for, that you're
oh, yeah.
asking for so much, and it's drastic.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. We get that a lot.
And I have to ask, because you're so busy, you're always here, there, doing everything. Do you ever have time to balance life in there too?
Oh, man. I'm going to give you a very honest answer, is that I have room for improvement. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, before I became a business owner, I was in the gym all the time. I felt good about myself. I was constantly working out. I spent a lot of time with friends, you know, did a number of things. But I do think that a lot of that has slowed down. But look, I'm building something here. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if I'm not, you know, looking as I did 5, 10 years ago at my prime, because I'm working on other things and my focus is somewhere else. And I do my best to, you know, I try to eat healthy. I try to get some moderate workout in. I do the best that I can, but I also know that I'm building something and I'm okay with that. Like I said, there's always room for a work-life balance improvement. I think that maybe once my ambitions kind of slow down a little bit, you know, I have more time to do some other things. I like to, you know, spend some time at home and, you know, really decompress a little bit. I've learned that spending time doing nothing is also pretty important. So that also helps with that work-life balance a little bit. Something as basic as going out for a walk and getting some fresh air, I think that people really don't appreciate basic small things like that. Take the headphones out, listen to the cars, listen to the trees, listen to the wind, you know, do some basic things that get your head out of technology and work and stress. I'm still kind of a work in progress and still learning the lessons of that. But when I do slow down to kind of appreciate those things and really, you know, make a better effort for work-life balance, I can tell you that I do feel a little bit more whole.
Good. No, I love that. I'm a big fan of the daytime walk. Just taking 10 minutes in between meetings, it really does help.
Yeah. And like I said, take the headphones out a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing to just like listen. Listen to what's going on outside.
People think I'm a psycho when I run because sometimes I'll take out my headphones just like that and I'll run 3 miles, no noise
That's
at
great.
All. But yeah, it helps me clear my head. I love it. Okay.
That's good. I love it.
So how do you work on your mental health then?
I do things that I think, you know, I write, like writing my book, I learned really helped out because sometimes whenever I have stresses at work, whenever I put it in writing, even now that I'm on my second book of how to manage my staff, I think that, you know, like I said, one of the hardest things about being a business owner, if you have staff, it really is managing them. And so putting kind of my thoughts into writing, it not only helps me be a better manager, but it also is like journaling in a way. That helps me out a lot. Listening to music. I think that people who are very close to me and know me well, you can almost read exactly what my mood is by the kind of music that I'm listening to. So listen, I bounce from country to alternative to hip hop to, you know, classical, literally everything I listen to. And I think it really does speak to my mood. Music is a good outlet and it's kind of a getaway for me. And I like that. Looking forward to traveling is also a really nice thing. Even if it's 4 or 5 months away, the fact that it's on your calendar and it's something for you to look forward to, I think is really important.
I love that. Yeah. And I love traveling.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We all need something to decompress. So I'm happy to hear
and
that.
And food. Food is honestly the best thing, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that is all I had. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with the audience or with me?
I'm happy to be here and I feel like I could be interviewing you, asking you 1,000 questions because there's so much more I want to know about you. For all the female entrepreneurs that are out there, I would just say, keep on keeping on. It is not an easy journey, but it is a very rewarding one. And also just, you know, if people try to detract you and if they try to steer you off your path, just keep your goal in mind and know that it's not going to be an easy road to get there. But just hard work and diligence, just put your mind to it, accept the fact that things will not always be perfect. And like I said, just keep on keeping on.
Taking that one to heart. Thank you so much, Anita. We appreciate
Thanks,
your
Kennedy.
Time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed as much as I did, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. See you Wednesday for a brand new episode.